It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are climbing into fall very slowly and gradually so that you can get used to it and make your adjustments, find your long sleeve shirts, that sort of thing. But before we get there, there are a lot of events that will be taking place. And among them, blackberries are starting to get ripe. I ran into my first ripe blackberries around my house this last week. A plant called black chokeberry. Now, that's not choke cherry. That's chokeberry. The choke cherries around my house are pretty much gone. The birds have eaten them all. I did see some choke cherries here and there while I was driving around. But at my house, I have two black chokeberry bushes. One is a varietal that I got when I was buying plant stock from the soil and water conservation folks. And they were a long time getting to maturity. But boy, oh boy, now they just produce. There are hundreds of berries on that plant. And like the choke cherry, they have that astringent kind of a feeling in your mouth. But a little bit of sugar. The birds apparently don't feel that astringency. They just go ahead and gulp them down. And they will be starting to do that any day now, I would expect. I'll be watching to see. The other plant that is full of fruit, too, actually, nanny berry, which has a fairly large fruit. Right now, they are green as green apples. And once they turn color, they'll get very dark blue to purple. And at that point, they are edible. I mean, they for all intents and purposes, are probably edible right now, but probably no sugar. When they get ripe and have a little bit more sugar in them, they're quite good. A bit pasty, more like a fig than a and say a juicy cherry or something, not so juicy, more pasty. But the flavor is wonderful. Big seeds, though. So I when I come across the nanny berry, I pick a few and enjoy them. But I can't imagine, a pie or you probably could make jelly or jam out of them. I guess it's probably some of you have. Maybe you'll tell us about it. Nanny berry, by the way, opposite branched. So if you're out looking around and you see this plant with opposite branches and bright green seeds on it, bright green clusters of fruits, chances are you're looking at nanny berry. Other fruits, well, other plants that are ripe right now, the oaks, both the bur oak in my yard and the red oak in my yard are full of acorns. It looks like it's going to be a bountiful year. I see lots and lots of acorns on my bur oak. I suspect that once they are ripe, and that should happen probably this week or next, the squirrels will come and cut them and haul them away. And I will not see very many white oak acorns actually make it to the ground. The red oak, on the other hand, will drop acorns, and underneath the oak tree, the red oak, it'll be like walking on ball bearings. It'll just be everywhere. And the reason for that is the red oak are not as tasty, nor are they as nutritious. They are not as nutritious as the bur oak. And they are not as tasty. They've got more tannin in them than the bur oak. And so the bur oak is the preferred acorn among those who sort of enjoy that kind of a meal. So keep an eye on your oak trees and watch what happens to the acorns and how long it takes for them to disappear. I suspect the deer will be eating the red oak acorns off the ground underneath my oak tree well into fall. But the white oak acorns will be long gone. And speaking of long gone, if you were thinking about hazelnuts this year, you're too late. Or maybe not. I don't know. At your house, maybe not. At my house, none. I've been watching them all summer, and they last week, at this time last week, there were a few left out of, well, this one shrub that I look at, an American hazel, probably had 30 or 35 nuts on it. And last week it probably had like 7 to 10 that were still on the plant. And this week, none. So hazelnuts, very popular among lots and lots of animals. Just about every animal you can think of that's tall enough to get in there. And some of them, like chipmunks and squirrels, will climb up. I once saw a woodchuck, a whistle pig, up in a hazel, chewing on the hazelnuts. So they are exceedingly popular when they're ripe, and those guys they're watching them, and once they become ripe, they eat them in a hurry. The other in the tree group that I've been looking at, the balsam poplars, the balm of Gileads. If you're driving down the highway this morning, look in the ditches. This variety of popple tends to grow near water, or it likes to be wet. It'll be very close to the bottom of the ditch. Seldom seen growing up on really high ground, mostly because everybody else out competes it. But the balsam poplars are starting. They have this red. The underside of the leaf, the top of the leaf is dark green. The underside is light green and splotched with red. Red like a horse's red, you know, chestnut red. Anyway, as the wind blows, or just the overall color of the balsam poplars as you're driving down the highway is a bit to the brown or to the red side of things. And they're pretty easy to pick out. So if your eye is sort of accustomed to the colors out there, you'll look for the reddish looking green. And I know I don't know why that is, but for me, like if I look at a white pine, the needles appear kind of blue green. And if I look at a Norway pine, the needles are just sort of green. And when I look at a balsam poplar, the leaves are kind of reddish green. So, you can discern them if you're looking carefully. They're going to start turning brown, and they will begin to fall. They're not nearly as ostentatious as the maples, but they go through the same process. They go through senescence, and then the leaves begin to fall. And though it hasn't begun at my house, I am seeing it around the area. So watch the balsam poplars in your neighborhood and see if you don't notice that they're losing their leaves as well. And the mountain ash, the native, the wild mountain ash, the one that grows in the woods and reproduces naturally, the Sorbus decora, northern or showy mountain ash. The berries are just starting to take on a blush. You can see the berries now. They're orange compared to the green foliage of the ash. Mountain ash, not at all to be confused with the black ash or the green ash or the white ash. The berries are just starting to turn. If you are in town, oftentimes there are varietals. There are other species of mountain ash that will have berries on them. And the phenology is not the same. The native mountain ash seems to be a little bit earlier in terms of ripening and disappearing because of birds. But check out the mountain ash in your neighborhood. And if they're growing in somebody's yard, they're probably not the wild or native mountain ash. Of the flowers that I've been watching that are in flower right now, bergamot. At my house, the wild bergamot is at its peak here at KAXE, the rain garden here. They are past their prime. They are definitely on their way out, but mine are a little bit slower. Mine grow in a little bit shadier country, and so maybe that's why. Large-leafed asters are probably at their peak of bloom out in the woods. I'm seeing a lot of the hedge bindweed. That's the big white flower that looks like the horn of the bell of a tuba, big bell-shaped white flowers, sometimes streaked with pink. That's hedge bindweed. It looks, most people are going to look at that flower and go, morning glory. But morning glory doesn't grow here, or at least if it does, it's been planted by somebody. It doesn't reproduce and just be found wild in the woods. If you look at the leaf, the morning glory has a heart-shaped leaf, and the hedge bindweed has an arrowhead-shaped leaf. Pretty obvious difference. Sawtooth sunflower, those are, for the most part, most of the sunflowers you're seeing out there are probably the sawtooth sunflower. if you look at a sunflower, the wild ones, so you've got these rays of yellow, and then the central disc, which is the flower itself. Looking around on the backside of that flower head, look at the green bracts that kind of close over the bud as it's developing. On the sawtooth, there are two layers or three layers, and they're quite pointed and they're hairy, especially near the base of that little bract. And that makes it sawtoothed and not the others, which are giant. And I can't remember the common name of it, but there are lots of sunflowers out there. Most of the ones that I am looking at are sawtooth sunflowers. Wild cucumber has begun to bloom, and this one is going to be, what you're going to see is sort of a vine, and it's going to be almost like a blanket of white laying up over some nearby structure. Maybe it'll be a fence, maybe it'll be hazel brush, whatever's nearby. The cucumber is going to grow over it, and right now it's covered in these five-petaled white flowers that are pretty easy to see. And you'll see these big, like I say, big blankets of white kind of growing over nearby foliage. The gray goldenrod began to bloom last week on Tuesday, just after we talked. And the gray goldenrod, if you go to KAXE Season Watch page, I have posted a picture. And I describe the gray goldenrod as looking a bit like a finger slightly bent. So hold your index finger up and just bend it a little bit. And that is pretty much the shape of the flower of the gray goldenrod. Pretty easy one to identify among all of the goldenrods. And northern heart-leaved aster is also blooming. And that's just another of the many asters that come into the area. Among the birds, you may have heard earlier, Dave Lorenz mentioned that the orioles had left his area. I saw flocks of crows, grackles, and starlings this last week. I saw a red-tailed hawk. The pileated woodpeckers are bringing their juveniles to the feeders. Thank you, Emma Pearson and Phil Nealand, for pointing that out to me. I have had a pileated coming to my feeder, but no young so far. The American kestrels are still hanging out along Blue Heron Drive. And yesterday, for the first time all summer, I got a good look at my flock. I call it a flock now because the trumpeter swans nest on my lake. And I had been watching them and trying to assess how many babies they had. And they were always in the weeds on the edge of the lake, and I was never able to get an accurate count. Yesterday, I walked out, and they were right out in the middle, and there are six cygnets with them. Six. And they are big. They're almost the size of Canada geese now. So the trumpeter swans, I would say they've got a really good chance of bringing at least five of those to maturity. I hope all six of them make it. It would be wonderful. And the other thrill I had this past week was driving out my driveway and getting out along the hay fields that are there along Blue Heron Drive, and I saw two sandhill crane adults and a colt. So they had a successful year as well. They have a young bird in their group. So the trumpeters and the sandhills both came through big. Let's see. Woodbine, smooth sumac, maples, and spreading dogmane. All four of those plants are showing signs of fall color. Woodbine is turning red. So is the sumac. So are the maples. Some of the maples are turning orange. Spreading dogmane is turning yellow, and you're probably going to see a few bright yellow leaves on the bottoms of the milkweed plants as well. And then finally, insects, still seeing a lot of monarch butterflies. I came around a corner the other day on Blue Heron Drive, and there was a puddling of clouded sulfurs, probably 30 or more of these yellow butterflies, and they were all in this area, probably about 3 feet square, and there was something there on the road or in the soil that they were gathering, some kind of mineral, some kind of chemical that they wanted, because there were a lot of them all piled up in that one spot. 12-spotted skimmer dragonflies, I have not seen any this past week, so they may be done for the year. The dragonflies I am seeing quite a bit of are meadowhawks. The males are red, the females are gold, and there are a bunch of them. There are several different varieties. And finally, flying ants. So if you are if you're out there and on a lake especially, you may see some flying ants laying on the water. It's the ants that build those little volcanic-like cones in your yard. They are sometimes called the Labor Day ant because it's around Labor Day that they begin to send out their elites, their winged females and males. And so that is just about to take place, or is beginning to take place, and you'll want to check that out. Finally, at last, he's near done, lilacs. I was looking at my lilacs, and they did not look good. And so I went in and checked them out, and they have a fungus, and you probably are seeing the same thing. Lots of lilacs are dying right now, not dying, but the leaves are dying, and this is a fungus that can afflict the lilacs, and it's not going to kill the lilac, but there are some things you can do to help the lilac. Now, oftentimes what happened at my house last year was all the leaves fell off and then the plant began to re-leaf in the fall. And I had a number of people tell me the same thing. And some people actually had flowers on their lilacs last fall, a response to losing these leaves to the fungus. You can reduce the stress on your lilacs, if yours are like mine and they're brown right now, you can reduce the stress by watering, especially if it stays dry. Give them plenty of water. You can mulch around their bases, which will help to conserve the water. You should rake up and destroy the infected leaves that fall off the plant this fall. And you might want to thin the plant, cut it out a little bit, cut some of the bigger, older stems out, to improve air circulation and light penetration. You know, the less crowded your lilac bush is, the better chance it has to fight off the fungus. Fertilizing lightly next spring may help to improve the vigor of the plant, especially if the plant has been defoliated over for, say, the last 2 years, which is my case. Fungicides can be used as the leaves are emerging and expanding in the spring and early summer. But typically this time of year, fungicides are not going to do anything to the fungus that's already in the plant. They're going to have no effect on the disease. So if you are thinking of using a fungicide, do it in the spring when the leaves are coming out. That should take care of your lilacs. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back again next week.